Hey, we're going to miss Brother Billy and Mimi as they move to Katy, Texas. In fact, they packed up today. So we are most of it, or no, none of it?
Some.
Okay. She's at home packing up while you're here singing with us. I'm glad you chose the most important stuff. Man. But anyway, we're sure going to miss them. And I, speaking of churches, if you move, and I'd love to, I don't want anybody to move, but if you move, I'd love to help you find a church home. So I called a few places, and I called the only independent Baptist church in Katy, Texas, and they shut down in February. And they've been going for 19 years. I talked to the pastor today. And so y'all be in prayer. And there is a church relatively close, but there's no independent Baptist church in Katy, Texas. And so it's right outside of Houston on the west side. And so we'll be in prayer that God send a church planter out of our church to go down there and start a church. Amen? And good. And Brother Stone gave me a name of another church, and I have double-checked that one. It seems to be the one, and so we'll try to recommend you over there. I think it's Westside Baptist Church. So, but I don't think it's as conservative as we'd like, so... But anyway, that's the way it goes. So we'll be in prayer for Brother Billy and Mimi, and we're sure going to miss them. I never forget, going by and following up on a visit 6 weeks after Brother Billy, or Miss Mimi had visited, and in her home and leading her to Christ, and me and my wife, and what a blessing. And then for her to tell the story of how that happened, and she talks about how that God sent us by that night. And then to see them over the last several years get in church, and I wish, and they were continue growing, and be honest with you, continuing to grow, and really just beginning to, Brother Billy especially maybe, begin to get involved in the music, and I miss that bass voice. Man, all right. Boy, we're way behind tonight. We got eggs to fill tonight. So I hope everybody stays and packs eggs tonight as we get ready to egg houses in our community. That sounds great. And, so tonight, we will get into this, but not very, very far. God who reveals Himself. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us, A. Debbie Tozer said. Listen to that again. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. We have a tendency, because of our sinful nature, to think of God in a wrong way. We have a tendency to... in our own minds, picture who God is and create within our own minds a caricature of who He is. And that is wrong. God is so above anything we can think or ask. And I'm glad He is a God who reveals Himself and that God wants us to know Him more. An attribute of God is not a part of God. They are the way He is. I know that sounds, you say, that sounds theological. I don't understand that. But what I'm trying to say is that the attributes of God are more than just characteristics of Him. In other words, as you think about in human terms, as we think about characteristics of myself, my characteristics can change over time. As I said last Wednesday night, I might be a nice guy now. My characteristics might be just a laid-back personality, laid-back characteristics. But as I get older, it could change. We see this happen all the time. In people. Sometimes I've seen preachers who were very unkind preachers as they got old became very kind preachers. I can name them right now. Characteristics, human characteristics can change. God's attributes do not change. And He's not relying on one, like we would rely on one of our characteristics today. We may rely on one of our characteristics tomorrow. God doesn't rely on one characteristic at a time. They're all perfectly in balance. I know, again, that sounds maybe high in the sky, but it is important you understand that God is absolutely perfect, that God is above anything that our human minds could comprehend. It's only because of the Word of God and because of creation and because of His Son that we have any idea of who God is and that He does and He desires to reveal Himself to us. Look at Psalm 8. Remember, it's Psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. Verse 1, who has set Thy glory, Thy glory, who what God is, above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens..." Can you just think about David there out on the hillside watching the sheep? And he says, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy hand, thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained." I love verse 4. If it's not underlined in your Bible, it ought to be. "What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visit him?" God, as I look at the stars and all the things that you've created, why do you even think about us? But I'm glad I'm here to tell you tonight he does. And though he is a God who, as we're going to learn tonight, is transcendent, that he is far above anything we could think of, and yet he is so personal. He is so personal that he cares about us individually, even knows the number of hairs on our head. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, bless this time. Bless the reading of your word. God, we do need you tonight. We need you in a significant way in order for us to grasp the truths that we're learning tonight. I pray tonight that this would not just be a intellectual exercise, but God, the practical would be made very clear, and the application of how your attributes impact our lives, I pray, would be very, very clear tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. As we think about tonight, we're going to group the attributes of God into sections. The first section is going to be called the genuineness of God. The genuineness of God. And we're going to maybe just cover one tonight. I don't think we'll get into the second one. But number one, God is spiritual. God is spiritual. These are attributes that can only be attributable to God. That He is spiritual. In other words, that God is a spirit. God is a spirit. Turn to John chapter 4, verse 24. Remember the woman at the well. Some of you remember the story. And so we'll not spend time on the story, just what he said to the woman there at the well. And look there with me. Let's look at verse 21. "And Jesus saith unto her," John chapter 4. You got to listen fast tonight. Listen fast and turn fast. John chapter 4, look at verse 21. "Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him." Look at verse 24. "God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." God is a spirit. He is not physical. He is not material. He is spirit. Not a spirit. Listen to this now. He's not a spirit, but spirit. He's not a spirit. He's not some apparition out there, some ghost. He's not a spirit. He's spirit. In that way, he's not physically limited in any one place. He's everywhere all at the same time. By the way, him being spirit is really a foundation to many of his other attributes, like omnipresence, so that he's present everywhere. He is spirit. He is without material organization, that is, a body parts. He has no body parts, shape, or form. He is spirit. Jesus illustrated this, we won't turn there, in John chapter 24, verse 39, where he spoke about when he went into the upper room. When he went into the upper room, he said, "Touch me." He said, "I'm not a spirit, touch me." And they were able to touch him physically. So he made that difference between a physical body and a spiritual body, or a spirit. I'm sorry, let me mess this up now. Between a physical body and a spirit. And so there is absolutely a difference. God is spirit. God is described as having a body part in some of the biblical passages, but those passages are given as a way to relate to Him. They are merely illustrations and allow us and help us to understand who He is. But it doesn't mean He actually has a finger. He doesn't actually have a right hand. He doesn't actually have the arm of God. He's not physical. He's spirit. Everybody with me? Those are just simply ways that the Bible gives us and God gives us in order for us to understand and in some minute way, in some small way, of who and what He is. Helps us to relate to Him. Helps us to relate to His different characteristics, whatever you want to say, such as Him being concerned for us. Think about the strong arm of God. Think about all the ways in which God's described really relates to His concern, His love for us, and so forth. He can manifest Himself, though, understand physically, right? We know that. He did that in the Old Testament by way of light. We know that He also appeared in the Old Testament in bodily form on several occasions. Everybody with me? He appeared to Abraham. He appeared to Joshua. I mean, we can go back through. He appeared to Jacob. You can go back through and find these Christophanies in which God bodily appeared to Old Testament saints. But understand, He manifested Himself, but that does not limit who and what He is. He's God. He can do what He wants to do. Think about this. God is a Spirit. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 4, what we have? God says there in the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. Thou shalt not make unto Me any," what? "Graven image." Well, that makes absolute sense when you think about He's a Spirit. You can't make a graven image of a Spirit. And so God is saying, hey, you don't make unto Me any graven image because I am not in the form of anything. And therefore, anything you create can't be who I am, nor can it be in the likeness of who I am. And so, don't make unto thee any graven image. Any graven image. Again, God does not exist in a physical form. He is a Spirit. John chapter 4, verse 24, we just read it. In the Old Testament system, people got hung up on the rituals, etc. The sacrifices, the priests, all the liturgy and all the pomp and circumstance of the sacrifices and the temple and the various things. All the rituals and all that Old Testament system were merely pictures of what was going to happen in the future. They were foreshadows. But yet what happened was the Jews got hung up on them. They got hung up in the sacrificial lamb. And instead of looking forward to the ultimate lamb, the ultimate sacrifice, in which that lamb pictured, they concentrated only on this lamb, this dying lamb, that this lamb was saving me from my sins instead of the future lamb, right? Follow me along a little bit here. As we think about that for a moment, they got caught up in the rituals and what they were doing rather than what they pictured. In the New Testament, we just read the verse a while ago, Jesus said, "You shall worship Me." No longer the sacrifices, He said to the woman at the well. No longer the temple sacrifices, but you will worship Me what? In spirit and in truth. One of the reasons in the New Testament is far much glorious than the Old Testament, Corinthians tells us, Paul tells us, is because we're no longer offering up these physical sacrifices and these things, these pictures of what Christ was to be, and getting hung up in those. There are some churches who have, by the way, got caught up in rituals. Everybody with me? Brother Stone's dealing with them down in Corpus, the Catholic Church. There are others who get all wrapped up in the rituals. But the Bible says the New Testament, that God was going to use the fullness of preaching. The fullness of preaching to win them. The truth from God's Word to win them. No longer this physical form, but a spiritual form. Everybody with me? And we may follow up again on this next Wednesday night. But God is a Spirit. And there's so much more in the New Testament placed upon that. God is a Spirit. And the application is there. God is not physical, therefore. So let's take a couple of practical things here. God is not physical, therefore He is not limited as we are in by any physical limitations. Everybody with me? He is not restricted in any way. I'm restricted. I can only be right here. Yeah? I mean, I could be on the cell phone, but I still can't be over there. I can talk over there, but I can't be there. God is everywhere. God is up there with Miss Vicky D tonight with that little girl. Just as much as He's here with us tonight. God is a Spirit. He's not limited. Boy, isn't that comforting to know? When I lay my head down at night, that God is there. I get up in the morning, God is there. In fact, the psalmist tells us you can't hide from God. If you went to the lower parts of hell, he said, I'd be there, God will be there. You went to the highest of heaven, God, he said, God be there. You can't hide from Him. So I think it goes both ways. It's comforting and it's a little fearful, isn't it? God never sleeps, never slumbers. He's not physical. He's spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. He is spirit, unlimited, everywhere at the same time. And again, this principle or this attribute is foundational for many of His other attributes. God is spirit, but I'm thankful tonight that He's revealed Himself by way of His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Number two, we may not finish this one, but let's at least get into it. God is transcendent. This is an awesome one. This one is found in Brother Tozer's book, Knowledge of the Holy. The first one isn't, but this one is. And he does a great job of covering it. We'll give some other thoughts as well. But Isaiah chapter 6, we're not going to turn there. Just I hope most of you remember it. You can turn to it when you get to the house. Isaiah 6, Isaiah saw the Lord, the Bible says, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. High and lifted up in His train filled the temple. Now, when I read that verse, I usually spend a lot of time on what he saw, but also on what it did to him, right? We think of high and lifted up in His train filled the temple, and the angels crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." But notice what it says. It says He was high and lifted up. High and lifted up. And Brother Stone just said it. Exalted. Now, when we think about God being transcended, that's what we're saying. He is wholly other. He exists apart from the material universe. He is transcendent in that He is holy. He is holy and man is sinful. He is transcendent because He is infinite and man is finite. He is unlimited and man is limited. He is transcendent. He is wholly other. He is absolutely apart from the material universe. He is separate from man and above man. In fact, Tozer said, so far above man that human thought cannot imagine it. Tozer goes on to say, not above as in distance. Listen to this now, this is good. Not because I wrote it, Brother Tozer's pretty good. Not above as in distance from earth, but quality of being. So we're not saying he's far above us and that he's 100,000 miles above us. We're saying in quality of being. Jesus Christ humbled Himself and became a man, right? He became a little lower than the angels. That's not talking about distance. That's talking about quality of being. Jesus humbled Himself to the point of a man, below the angels, below God, below the angels, below man. What we're saying here is God is transcendent, that He is so far above of human being. One of the illustrations given in Tozer's book was he talked about this group of people that went up to Colorado and had a conference, a church conference, like a family conference. And there was a bunch of them there, and the splendor of the mountains and just the great mountains and the trees and how beautiful it was. But one of the families lost the little two-year-old girl, wandered away. And all of a sudden, they began to look for him. All of a sudden, that's all it became. No one cared about the mountains anymore. Everybody cared about that little girl. Why? Mountains have been there a lot longer than she has. A lot more value in that little girl than there are those mountains. Quality of being. The girl's above the mountains. Not physically, but in value. God is so far above anything we can think of. It's even the illustrations that I have read, not just Tozer, but Moody and some other illustrations I've read, there's just nothing that clearly helps us truly grasp how transcendent He is, how far above man that He really is. He is not immanent or preeminent. He is transcendent. He is not just the immanent being. He's not just the preeminent being. He's transcendent. He is just He's just above everything that we can think of. We have a tendency to make Him, the kind of the prominent one, or we make Him the preeminent one. No, He's more than those things. But in our mind, we keep Him here when He should be just above anything we can think of. Isaiah chapter 57. I'm getting ahead of myself. Exodus chapter 24. And I have to stop. 12, verse 18. God was separated from the people on the Mount Sinai. Remember that? They came to Mount Sinai, and God is up there talking to Moses, and there's thunderings and there's lightnings. In fact, Exodus chapter 19 says, He said to Moses, I think it's verse 2, He said, don't even let them touch the mountain. Yeah. He separated Himself from the people. He separated Himself from, by the mountain and then the cloud. I mean, just thunderings and lightning. Separated Himself. God was separated from His people in the mountain by the cloud. The mountain was not to be touched. God is so other. That's what the definition is. Holy other. Moses fell at His feet. Remove your shoes. The ground you're standing on is holy ground. Isaiah 57 verse 15, Isaiah said it this way, the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. The high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. He is separate from us, but not necessarily relationally and spiritually. I'm glad He loved us. He sent His Son to die for us. He's not wound up the earth like a clock and threw it out in space, but He cares about us individually, right? Acts chapter 17 says, though He be not far from every one of us, but He is the high and lofty one. Yet we have a tendency to bring Him down to our level. Our level. 3 minutes. We have a tendency to bring Him down to our level, which creates problems in our own lives. One of the biggest one of those is a lack of awe and fear of God. When God is not in His proper place in our lives, when God is not His proper place in our view, the nation as a whole, I'm talking about people as a whole, have a lack of awe and fear of God. And when the fear of God is gone, the fear of consequence is also gone. That's what's wrong with America today. The fear of God is gone, there is no fear of consequences. The fear of God was more than a natural apprehension of danger. It was a non-rational dread and an acute feeling of personal insufficiency in the presence of God Almighty. In other words, it wasn't just Isaiah fearing God. It was an act of insufficiency before God. When Isaiah saw the Lord, he wasn't trembling as in I would with somebody putting a gun to my head. He was fearing because of his insufficiency. Because of how great and how wonderful God was. And he said, woe is me, a man of unclean lips. When he saw God in His transcendent fashion, he said, woe is me, a man of unclean lips. Moses wasn't afraid of God as he put a gun to his head. He saw himself as totally insufficient. Totally below. Totally a worm. Compared to the Almighty God. Boy, if we as Christians just can truly see. And I'll begin the message next week from Daniel chapter... Go read it this week and we'll get back on it Wednesday night. Read Daniel chapter 10, verse 4 through 9. And see that vision that Daniel saw. Man, what did Daniel do? Same thing Isaiah did. Same thing Moses did. Same thing Job did. The same thing Saul did on the road to Damascus. When he saw God in His transcendent... made all the difference in the world. And as we see God properly, it'll make all the difference in our life. For the good. It'll help us. It'll encourage us. Let's all stand. I've gone long and we need to go. Let's all stand. Let's have verse invitation. Let's sing I Surrender All. Hymn 153. Lord, set your heart. You come as we after we pray. Lord, we thank You this night. Lord, we've been kind of in a hurry. I do thank You, God, for Your wonderful attributes. Lord, that You are Spirit, and therefore unlimited. That God, that You're there for us, as You're there for the people, our missionaries in Taiwan and other places. God, we take comfort in knowing that. Lord, You're transcendent. You're holy other. Unlike anything that we could imagine. And God, I pray, as Christians, that as we get a true glimpse of who You are, that we'd see ourselves for who we are. And God, we'd make some changes by way of Your Spirit that will help us in our everyday life. We thank You, God, for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name.